Amen. Amen. I thank God for this day. This is a day that I haven't seen before. So I thank God for this day. Amen. Truly, God is good to us. I want to thank our musicians, faithful. Amen. The reason why I want to thank our musicians because they're faithful. Every time we have service, they're here. Amen. You don't see them tipping out to go to another service. Amen. We don't see that here. So we thank God for the faithfulness of our musicians. Amen. They're not asking to be paid. They're asking just to play. And that's what they're doing. Amen. And I even think Brother Moore, he playing the saxophone, that's been a dream of his. And let me say this, he's a senior citizen. And took up horn lessons. So it's what you want to do. This is something that he wanted to do. Senior citizen playing the saxophone. Amen. So when you say you can't do something, I mean, look at that testimony sitting right over there. That's a testimony for whoever is saying, I can't do it. I don't think he said that. I think he said, I can do it. And you see he's doing it. Amen. Don't expect when you take lessons to take off right then. It takes some time. Amen. But I'm thankful for him for taking up the lesson and coming out and playing. Amen. He loves to sing, but he also, we see, loves to play that sax. Amen. Amen. I mean, when you start off, it don't sound good to you, but eventually it will. Amen. You got to get it. So, man, I thank our musicians for being faithful, and I thank each and every one of you for being faithful. This is Memorial Day weekend. I know many times we think about the soldiers who fought for this country, but I think about the soldiers who stayed on the battlefield to fight this spiritual warfare. Amen. That's when memorial, when it comes to my mind, that's who I think about, is the ones that paved the way for us, who continue to lift up the name of Jesus despite what they were going through. So I thank God for those soldiers who were in the army of God, amen, who paved the way. So I thank God for them. As a pastor, I'm sharing the microphone. I'm sharing the microphone. I recharge my battery. Amen. My babies were in the driveway driving their cars, and one of them was kind of dragging. And I said, this car needs to be recharged. So I had to plug it up because it needed a recharge. And so it is with us in our lives. Sometimes we need a vacation. And man, that's why you're so fussy on your job, because you need a vacation. And man, you need to get away for a moment and relax. And man, that's why you got those paid time off. Is when you start getting aggravated, you need to step away from the job. And man, when your children start getting aggravated, and my 4 and 3 year old, it's time for them to take a nap. Amen. When they start getting fussy, you know they need to take a nap. So it is as adults. When you start getting fussy on your job, you need to take a vacation. Step away from it and recharge your battery. And one thing I can tell you, once my children wake up, they're better because they got their sleep out. You know, why don't you just go to sleep? No, they got to fight. They got to fight it. Some of y'all need a vacation and y'all fighting it. And man, y'all fighting a vacation. Take some time off. You don't always have to go somewhere. You can have a staycation. And man, you can just get away and go get a hotel somewhere and just relax. And man, don't answer your phone to anybody. But just recharge your battery. And then when you come back, when I unplugged that car for my daughter, she took off. You can't get whiplash in that, but she took off. When you come back from your vacation, you'll be more powerful than a locomotive. Faster than a speeding bullet. Hey man, y'all know what I'm talking about. That's my grandfather's quote. He would always say that. And man, he still say that at his age. And man, he say, give me this mountain. And man, at his age. So I'm thankful for this morning. And Minister O'Bannon is going to come. I don't know how he's going to come, but he's going to come. Amen. And he's going to present the word of God on this morning. Amen.
If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 John, the fourth chapter. John, the fourth chapter. You have it, say amen. Amen. Lately, I've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and it's kind of hard to say them all in one day. So today I'm going to be touching on the gift of the Spirit, the gift of discernment. 1 John, the fourth chapter, and the first verse says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone into the world." You may be seated. Generally, I watch Katina in the back wave the flag. And if y'all ever notice that since I live in America and we have an American flag, and if I were to go to Japan, I recognize the Japan flag, Europe flag, Russia flag, I recognize their flag. And that tells me who they represent. When they fly over here, that tells them who I represent. If in the kingdom of God, when we as people of God, we have a banner and we have a flag, we have a Christian flag. In the kingdom of God, when you become part of God's kingdom, you become a part of God's kingdom, and there is a flag that raises up, or a banner. So the demonic spirits, they do take flight. And when they take flight and they see the kingdom of God flag waving, it disturbs their spirit. It disturbs their flight plan, and they have to reroute their route. The atmosphere is actually disturbed because we represent the kingdom of God, and this is a no-flight zone. That's why we pray for our children. We extend the no-flight zone to their wherever the limit there is. Satan can't touch them because they're called. But behind, besides all that. But godly and demonic spirits do exist. Each one of them have a purpose, plan, and a mission. These spirits are in constant motion, back and forth from the earth and up and down it. And Satan said it right. When God asked them, says, where do you come from? Satan says, to and fro from the earth, up and down it. To and fro. So that only tells you one thing. He is busy. The Bible even says that in the book of Psalms that God never sleeps nor slumbers. And there's only two reasons why. Because, first of all, God is a spirit, and the spirit doesn't need to sleep. Secondly is, because the demonic spirit is constantly moving, a good watchman, what? Watches over the city, and he never sleeps. The writer of John the writer here, refers to spirits. And when he refers to spirits, he's talking to the existing spirits in the invisible world as they work through an agent called man. There are spirits that are sent by God himself that are encouraging, inspirational, trustworthy, and holy. There are spirits that are sent by God that send good news, bad news, warnings, and destruction, and death. And by the way, I want y'all to know there is no death angel in the Bible. There is no death angel. Even though you may say, oh, no, Michael. Because in the book of Exodus, it says there that there was a death angel that came down. And anybody that doesn't have the blood over their doors, the death angel came and took the firstborn. That's not true. Because if you really, really look at it, it says that God himself done it. It says it. But on the other hand, there are spirits that are sent by the evil one, Satan or the devil. These group of demons, and let me say this. I've been to two exorcisms, and I can't share a lot of things because I was told not to say a lot of things to it, but I'm going to share some things with you. These demons that are sent by Satan himself, they have one desire only, and that's to control the body, control the mind, and confuse the mind. They're suicidal, they're persuasive, they're disturbing spirits, they're aggressive, they send behaviors that is unimaginable to man. They send nightmares. They're nothing but evil. They send sexual thoughts, mischievous acts, and they're arrogant, rude, and selfish, and mischievous, and they speak in tongues. But when you listen to their voice, it is a sign of submission. It's a sign of worship. But the gift of discernment is, it is actually determining, not only determining what's right and what's wrong. Can I show y'all something? Why y'all laughing at me? Y'all tell me. You gonna do it? Do y'all want the long version or the short version? You want the short version? The long version. Good. Okay. Okay. Here's an example. Hope y'all can see this. 2 + 2 = 6. Right? Right? 2 + 2 = Jeremiah. Is 2 + 2 = 6? Can't get him. Let me correct him because I'll be the fault why he flunked the first grade. 2 + 2 = 4, right? Now watch this. The demonic spirits, can I shut that off? Because sometimes I may be walking across here. The demonic spirits does not pay attention to the simple things. They don't. What they, let me ask you all a question. What color is grass? Not marijuana, but what color is grass? Green. What? Growing grass. What color is the sun? Yellow? Okay. If y'all so smart, what is that equation? That's an EM2. What's that equation? Oh, my goodness! That man is bad. The demonic world does not mind if you understand the simple things. But what they want to do is they want to make it complex for you. And here's what they do. Y'all heard the old saying, "An idle mind is a devil workshop"? It's true. What happens is, and this is exactly what happens. Brother Moore, let's say, for instance, you're minding your own business, not bothering nobody. Here's what happened in the demonic world. The demonic world says, okay, he's sitting there. What they do is they gather together, and they determine their plan. They determine their destruction. They determine their plot. So what they do is they say, Brother Moore, they come into the and whisper something in his mind, whisper something in his ear and says, they're over there talking about you. They over there, look at them. They're laughing. They're whispering. They're over there talking about you. And what appears to be true turns out to be a lie from the pits of hell. It is. It appears to be true that, yes, it looked like they're talking about you. Yes, it looked like they're laughing at you. But they can sell it to you. They can determine. They can say, he's going to do something. Oh, you know what? When they go home, they even talk about you even more. Satan says, let's contemplate things. Satan comes to Eve and says, what did God tell you? Did God say that you shall surely die? Let's contemplate things. He's taking the simple things and make it more complex. Jesus, Satan saw Jesus was hungry, and he says, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. The simple things. Yes, I'm hungry. And Jesus said, it is written. Then Satan takes him on a high pedestal and says, hey, if you be the Son of God, jump down and the angels will come down and they will catch you before your foot even hit the ground. Jesus says what? It is written. Satan knows only half of the truth. And when you tell him the whole truth, which is written in the Word of God, it shuts him up. Discernment means I'm relying on the Spirit of God so I can make the right judgment, the right call, what is happening or what is being said. Discernment means this. It means you can't find your marker. This is what that discernment means. How you spell it? D-I-S E-R-N-E-N-T. Discernment, right? If you slice it in half, dis means what? Without. Sermon means to judge. So in other words, discernment means nothing goes without judgment. Every conversation that I enter in does not go without judgment. Every situation that I encounter, sexual or whatever the case may be, nothing goes without judgment. See, I'm trusting in God, and I like this word, that God will give me insight in the conversation before they even get finished. I can say to somebody, oh, you know what, I start talking to somebody, I say, oh, I know exactly where this conversation is going. That's insight. We ought to be discriminating when we talk to people. There are some until they have gained trustworthy with their words. And I'm not talking about religion, race, or color. But I'm talking about that there are certain conversations that we should not enter in until we fully understand what they're talking about. There are spirits out there that are willing to lie to you, willing to deceive you. There are some people out there that are so deceiving. These spirits are so deceiving that there is inconsistency in their stories. One minute you tell me this, then the next minute you tell me this. That's finding out that it's discernment. That's why John says, do not believe every spirit. Now, what does he mean by spirits? He's talking about the godly spirits, the angelical spirits, the demonic spirits. He's talking about all spirits. You mean to tell me he's talking about God? Yes. Because we as man, we all, we're confused about what's right and what's wrong. And we get confused on not only that, but who is speaking. You hear people say, God told me to tell you this. Well, wait a minute. Which God is that? Because Satan is also a god of this world. He also speaks too. So we got to determine who's speaking here. Whenever the angelical beings, meaning the God or the angels, whenever they speak, listen to me, y'all. Are y'all listening? They always gave their name. They always gave their purpose of why they came. John the Baptist saw Jesus. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. How about Moses? Moses was in a wilderness, saw a burning bush, and Moses went up to it. He was curious, and he went up to the bush, and he was curious, and God said, Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground that you're standing on is holy. He was identifying that I am God. Moses goes and says, well, God, if you want me to tell Pharaoh to let my people go, who should I tell him that sent me? He says what? Tell them that I am sent you. Well, suppose they don't believe me. He was identifying who he was. How about Joshua? When Joshua saw a man standing in front of him, he drew his sword out and said, who are you for? Are you for us or are you against us? He said, I am the commander of the army of the Lord. You want to know why? Because God does not want us to be confused on who's representing him. There ought to be no confusion on who's speaking here. That's why God says, I am God. But in the unknown world, in the unknown spirits, in the demonic spirits, they refuse to share their name with you. They refuse to. And the reason is because if they tell you their name, it breaks the silence. If they tell you their name, it actually tells you, their name actually tells them all what their purpose is and who they claim to be. That's why they won't share it. Because they refuse to be questioned. They refuse to be addressed any issues that you have. Matter of fact, if you ask them a question, they'll revert it back to you and ask you a question. I don't know about y'all. Woo. When I was at this exorcism, I got cursed out in Aramaic. I said, what? Cuss me out. Refused to share anything with you. As a matter of fact, in Mark the 5th chapter, I like this. Y'all gotta let me spend some time on this. In Mark the 5th chapter, the Bible says that there was a man that was possessed with a demon. And when he was possessed with his demon, somehow he saw Jesus afar off. And the demonic spirit was so angry that he ran towards Jesus. And when the demonic spirit came up to him, he fell on his feet and says, Son of the living God, why have you come and tormented me? Here's the thing. Jesus asked him, no, he didn't ask him. He told him, he said, come out of him, you unclean spirit. And he refused to come out. Refused to come out. And guess what he started doing to Jesus? He started tempting Jesus. He says, Jesus asked him, Jesus says, what is your name? He says, my name is Legion, for I am many. But did you not notice one thing? That was not his name. That is what he has become. He's become a legion. That was not his name. And Jesus was not going to play games with this demon. So here's what Jesus is going to do. What Jesus did was, y'all give me time. What Jesus did was, Jesus didn't want to address this issue. Because Jesus didn't have time to try to figure out how many demons is in this man. He didn't want to have to figure out, okay, what's your name? What's your name? What's your name? So they were playing with Jesus. And what they did was they were saying, we are legion. We are many. What they were saying was, Jesus, they were saying, we are one. We are an army. We're ready to fight. That's why he ran towards Jesus, because they was ready to fight Jesus. And when they saw Jesus, they went on their feet. Jesus was not going to play around. They were ready to fight, but they failed to realize one thing. They may be an army, but he is God. He's God. And when you have God on your side, he is the majority. He is. And somehow, the demonic spirit starts speaking to Jesus. They refuse to come out, because if Jesus was personally asking all these demons to come out, then he would literally sit there and listen to almost 1,000 demons. There's no way in the world that Jesus is going to sit here and watch this. So what they did was, demonic spirits have to hide behind something. Any of y'all ever watch some movies where a criminal breaks into a house and he grabs the woman, and while the husband watches, he puts the gun up to the woman's head? Because he knows that the man, the husband, will not hurt his wife. So therefore, he's going to hide behind something that he loves. So therefore, when it comes to children of God, demons hide behind the image of God. And he knows that God will not destroy the image that he has created. He knows that. So therefore, they hide in the darkness. So somehow, these demonic spirits, they were in this man, and they were screaming and yelling. They refused to come out. Refused. So what they did was, before that, Jesus had to speak to them, say, come out of him. So when before they came out, they said, well, okay, since we don't want to come out, because if they float in the air, it is actually a form of a torture to them. It is tormenting them. So what happened was, they said to Jesus, they said, well, forbid us to go into swines. Jesus says, okay, go into the swines. And here's what happened. The Bible says that the swines were so confused that they ran down the hill. And what happens was, the swines, when they overtook their brain, it confused them so much so that they kept running down the hill, they tumbling over each other. And somehow, I don't know if y'all know it, but swines are actually pretty good swimmers. They can swim pretty good. So how in the world did these swines, being possessed by demons, go into the water and drown if they're pretty good swimmers? Here's the reason is, because when they came off the mountain and they fell on top of one another, they were pushing the air out of one another, bumping each other's head, so they all was drowning, killing one another. The Bible says that they drowned in the sea. Discernment is, I want God to speak through me and give me insight. The Bible says that in the book of Samuel, the third chapter, the Bible says that Samuel was a young man who did not know God, did not know God at all. Somehow he was in his bed sleeping, and somehow God says, Samuel, Samuel. And he woke up and he ran to his father, Eli, and says, here am I, you called me. He says, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. So he goes back to bed, and somehow this was at night. And somehow he wakes up again, and God calls him again, Samuel, Samuel. And he wakes up, goes to the father three times. And somehow Eli was thinking, you know, maybe God is trying to call this man, call this little boy. So he's trying to help his son with discernment and says, go back to bed. And when you hear this voice again, it says, here am I, Lord. I'm determining what God has said or did say and persuading me to do that. I'm convinced that this is God. We all have friends. We select our friends. We select the conversations we get involved in. We select, and I'm not saying you shouldn't listen to advice of others, but I'm saying that you should take their advice and use it as a reference point according to the Bible. Did y'all not know that there are some things that words are so attractive? They are. They can deceive people in every way. Ever since my son was born, and y'all done to y'all kids too, or your mom and dad done it to you all, when your child is born, you say, "Where's your ear?" They point to your ear. And "Where's your eye?" You point to your eye. You go, "Yes." And then they, "Where's your foot?" You put your foot. And then, you know, and you go home to, "Where's your head at? Here's my head. That's mama and that's daddy." So somehow I'm happy that my son knows his right hand, left hand from his right hand. Yeah. Gosh. He knows his left hand from his right hand. So here I am. I'm in the park with my son. And I'm throwing the ball to him back and forth. He's throwing it back to me. And somehow I play a trick on him. I throw it straight up in the air, way up in the air. And the wind blows it. And I told my son, I yelled out and said, "Go left, go left." And somehow he goes right. I said, "Go left." He still goes further right. And I'm saying, "Oh my goodness, this boy's confused." I said, "Goodness, what is he doing?" And then the ball just bounced. I said, "What were you thinking?" "Dad, I didn't know." What I'm saying is that sometimes what the devil does is, I believe sometimes we lose our direction under pressure. We do. Although we know our right hand from our left hand, but let it be under pressure, you will forget. You will forget how to discern between the spirits. You will. Did y'all not know God will help you in every way to avoid sin? You know that? You know that God will warn you before you fall, before the very presence of sin fall. Do y'all not know there is a difference between prophecy and discernment? There's a difference between the two. They almost sound alike, but they're different. Prophecy is, get this, prophecy speaks over somebody's life. Discernment speaks for somebody's life. When I say prophet, when I prophesy over you, I'm speaking blessings and curse and baby curses and God will bless you. But when I speak for your life, I say, "Children, obey your parents that your days may be long." That's speaking for your life. No wonder in the Bible, when God said, "Cain, if you do good, good will follow you." God says, "But Cain, if you continue doing what you're doing, sin crouches at your door." He says, "But you must master over it." What God was doing, what God was actually helping him with discernment, he was speaking for his life because he was thinking about killing his own brother. Did y'all not know? Did you not know that when you pray the Lord's Prayer, you're asking for discernment? Did you know that? Listen to what it says. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." All you're doing is you're asking the Lord, "Lord, give me insight of evil before I even trample down that path." That's all you're asking. I don't want to fall. And I believe the devil hears us when we say, "I love the Lord." I believe the devil hears us saying, "Oh, I won't never be tempted. No, no. No, I will never be tempted." But I'm going to tell you this right now. Placed under the right pressure, some people will sin. Some people will fall. Be careful how you say, "I won't." There are those that when they make a decision, they make a decision based off how they feel and what their own judgment. But there are those that it says, "Lord, I won't do anything unless I get insight from you." Discernment actually builds our confidence and give us the determination. Now, when the Bible says that, "Beloved," he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are from God." Now, what does the word "test" mean? The test means just what it means, test. Now, let me ask y'all a question. I like feedback. How do you test the spirit? By the spirit. Okay. How? By the word of God. But how? You pray. I'm not going with that. Because I had one lady at my job. Goodness. She said, I was talking to her about, you know, we talked about the Bible and things like that. She said, Mike, I don't like that. I said, what do you mean? She said, I don't like when you do that, Mike. I don't like when you ask me a question and you, I just want you to just tell me what it is, Michael. Just tell me. I said, I didn't know. I'm just trying to help you out to see where you are, where your knowledge is. She just, I just don't like that. I just don't like that. So I don't like talking to you. So. Oh, boy. But first of all, there's two things. There is, first, you test the spirits. And first, secondly, you test the spirit that speaks through man. Okay, right? Now, let's try first testing the spirits. Because sometimes the spirits come down, and they whisper in our ear, and they talk to us, right? In our dreams, right? You wonder why some people, why the young man just all of a sudden reached in the car, blew the lady's head off and pushed her out the car. It's a spirit that talked to that boy. Sure, it wasn't God. What else? What could it be? So if you're not sure what spirit is speaking or how they're pressuring you, the way you tell is you test the spirit. Here's what happened. Now, we're talking about the spirits in the spirit world before we get to man. Gideon did. Gideon said, if it be you, Lord, let the ground be wet, but the fleece be dry. And let's do it again. Let the fleece be dry, and let the fleece be wet, and the ground be dry. He was testing the spirit. Nothing wrong with that. But the fact is that the problem is that if you keep testing God and you don't obey him and don't do it, that's a problem. Look what Moses said. Moses said, what if they don't believe me? How can I tell them? What's the test? He says, well, throw your rod down and it turns into a serpent. And then he said, not only that, but take your hand and stick it in your bosom. And when he stuck it in the bosom, it came out, it'd be white as snow. That's the test for Pharaoh. Peter says, oh, my God. Is that of my Lord? He see him walking on the water. He says, Lord, if that be you, bid me to come. He's testing the spirit of God. And God says, come. How about John the Baptist? He's in prison, and he whispers to one of his disciples and says, ask him, is he the one, or should we look for another? Testing the spirit. So, okay, bypass all that. Let's say, for instance, do y'all entrust me with the word of God? Y'all do. Let's say, for instance, a speaker stands before you, and he said he's led by God. How do you test his spirit? The Bible says, do not believe every spirit. That means that we ought to test pastors. We ought to test teachers, evangelists, prophets, all of them. Same as leaders. You test them all. So how do you test them? When does the test begin, should I say? The test begins. Once that they open their mouth, the test begins. And they start speaking. When does the test end? When they close their mouth. Does it make sense? When they open their mouth, the test began, because now I'm at the point, I'm going to evaluate everything that you say. I'm going to listen to everything you say. I'm going to hear you out. I'm going to hear the conclusion until your mouth closed. And then that says, when your mouth closed, that's the conclusion. Now I'm going to evaluate you. What you say is a bunch of lies. Here's how it is. I have a Bible. Let me borrow this Bible. And I like Lisa. Can I meet you, Lisa? One time, Lisa, I was sitting here, and Minister Day was sitting there, and one day she, and I know she has the gift of the Spirit. I know many of y'all do, but I had to point her out because one day we were sitting here, and all of a sudden she comes to us and she says, "Did y'all just hear that? It was at a funeral," and she knows what I'm talking about. She said, "Did y'all hear that message?" We was like, "No, what happened?" She said, he said this, and I'm like, I said, "Man, I didn't pick it up," but she picked it up. You know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, good. Let's leave it like that. So here's what happens. Let's say, for instance, a speaker comes in here now, and he starts talking. Let's say, for instance, here's his eyes, here's his nose, here's his mouth. Okay? That's pretty good. He starts talking, and he won't shut up. Like some of these men that y'all, you know what I mean, be lying to y'all women. Just keep talking. It won't shut up. Talk going to sleep. Talk coming up. Take the battery out. He still talks. I just delivered somebody. All right, let's be for real. Okay, let's say for the speaker gets up and he starts talking. Let's say, for instance, now I say to you, y'all, that Jesus actually didn't walk on water. He actually walked on ice. Because what happened was Peter and Jesus was walking on the water, and Peter saw what got out the boat because he saw Jesus coming towards him. And Peter says, "Well, for me to come." And when Peter got out the boat, Peter was on thin ice. And when Peter and Jesus were standing next together, Peter fell because he was on thin ice. True or not? Y'all sure? I can sell that. What happens is, the gift of discernment says, as the speaker speaks, my finger goes across every word that come out of his mouth, and my finger also goes, and it raises an eyebrow, and my finger goes across the Bible and says, something don't sink. Because what I read out of the Bible says, Jesus walked on water. It did not say ice. So you test the spirits by the word. That's how you test them. And that's the pastor's job too, because the pastor is to discern who is validated before us. But the Bible says, well, let me ask y'all a question. Do y'all know the shepherd's voice? Do y'all know? Why is it that I hear so many times people say, God told me. Well, I wish I could go into something else. But the Bible says in John, the 10th chapter, my sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they shall follow me, and I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man. We want God to give us insight in what he's doing. For many years, the demonic spirit has been speaking to us. They're speaking over our children, speaking over our husbands and wives. They've been speaking to us. So why not, for the first time, as we as believers, let's speak over their life? They've been disturbing your spirit. They've been disturbing your peace. They've been disturbing your sleep. Why not, for the first time, let's disturb their peace? There's a story, and I'm in by this. There's a story by there was a Satan and his demonics, and they have to report to Satan. One demon came back to give a report. And Satan says to this demon, what is your report? The demon says, I couldn't do anything. He says, why not? He said, because somehow when I was doing it, it just didn't work out. And Satan says, okay, but did she overdose in pain pills today? He says, no, she didn't overdose. Well, then what happened? He says, somehow I was told by this spirit to leave. I was told by this spirit, loose him and let him go. And somehow I was told by this spirit that you have no place in this place. So somehow the demonic spirit, Satan says, that couldn't be. He said, no, 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 but you don't understand what happened. There was a name they called out. That name depicted me. And it pointed me out and says, you are not in this, you are in the wrong place. Loose him and let him go. That name kicked me out. That name gave residence over that person. So I had to go. Ask God. God shall give you the gift of discernment. We are all called to have the gift of discernment. We are to discern between the spirits. What is speaking, what is not speaking. Ask God for insight. Insight in what he's doing. Insight. I'm not going to do anything unless I get insight from you, God. There's a woman that's on my mind. That's. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you once again, Father, for the ability to recognize that when evil spirits start speaking, I want to be given the gift to determine what is healthy and what is holy and what is profitable, what is encouraging, what is wrong and what is discouraging, what is sinful, what may be potential sin in your eyesight, Father. Lead me away from that, Father. And Father, use me, Father, to recognize the spirits. And when the spirits start speaking, Father, help me to help someone else to recognize the spirit that is speaking, Father. Right now, today, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray over the congregation that the war begins today. We've lost the battles before, but today we won the victory because we're recognizing a spirit that's working today, and we know who you are, and we know your works, and today we say, no more. No more discouragement. No more giving my body to you, to you, Satan. No more today. We call it out by name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.